Top story tonight, they're calling it Bethlehem Mayhem.
Shepherds in the remote region south of Jerusalem took to social media overnight with reports of a type of UFO.
Are you seeing this? Hearing this? This angel is speaking.
We have seen a star, and it's been foretold that a child has been born, a king of the Jews.
Fake news. Fake news. I'm not surprised to hear that from you. Your network is very unpopular.
Just give us some room. She's about to have a baby.
Come back to where you belong. We don't need any more babies born here.
You expect us to believe that God is the father of your child?
Yes.
More fake news. I should have you arrested and your head chopped off.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!
Over 2,000 years ago, a baby is born in a stable in Bethlehem. Also born that moment is the most viral story ever told. A man called Jesus was the original disruptor. He promoted love, tolerance, forgiveness. He celebrated the powerless over those in power. He became the world's greatest influencer. He fomented social unrest. And he launched a faith based on the belief that we are all sinners and must all pay the ultimate price for that. But God became a man to take our sin upon himself and pay the price for us, the ultimate sacrifice, which restored our relationship with our Creator. At least I think that's what Christianity is supposed to be. But did the baby born in the stable really happen? Was Jesus real? And who was he really? Why would God choose to become human in that place, born in a barn, wrapped in rags, in a town called Bethlehem, when Rome was the center of power, not Judea? And why was his mother a poor, unknown teenager named Mary? I'm Jane Wells, and I've been a journalist my entire professional life. I ask a lot of questions of my faith and especially of my profession. Today's media and social media make you wonder who to trust and what is truth. So prepare yourself to hear the Christmas story in a new way. In this story, we transport modern media back in time 2,000 years to quote-unquote report on Christmas in real time. It makes you wonder, if God came to Earth today, how would that be covered? Well, you're going to find out. But this podcast isn't all first century breaking news shtick. In between our continuing coverage of the original Christmas, I conduct some actual journalism, talking to real people from this century who help explain what we know about the greatest story ever told and what we must choose to take on faith. In fact, let's meet them right now.
Okay, so my name is Warren Carter. I'm professor of New Testament at Phillips Theological Seminary in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Warren Carter has a PhD in early Christian history and literature from Princeton Theological Seminary.
I would consider myself a Christian, but I would not consider myself to be a fairly typical conservative.
I'm Lisa Fields, the founder and president of the Jude 3 Project. It's a Christian apologetics organization dedicated to helping Black Christians know what they believe and why they believe it.
Lisa Fields of Jacksonville, Florida, grew up in the church, but she was forced to confront doubts in college.
And my professor said, I'm going to challenge everything you thought you knew about Jesus. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be the easy A that I anticipated. And it was the first time I had to intellectually think about why I believed what I believed.
My name is Neil Saavedra. I'm the host and producer of The Jesus Christ Show.
That is a nationally syndicated radio call-in show.
Won't you guide me now, for I can't see.
It is The Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host.
You call yourself the holy host?
Yes, because it's creepy to say I'm Jesus. That's really how that happened, actually.
On the show, people call Neil, Jesus, with questions about faith.
Benjamin, welcome to The Jesus Christ Show.
Yes. Hi, Jesus.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
One guy called in and he goes, "You're not Jesus." And I said, "Sir, do you ever go to the theater?" "Yeah." "Well, do you stand up and yell, 'Those aren't cats. Those are people dressed as cats and they're singing and cats can't sing.'"
All three of these people agree we do not know a lot about where Jesus was born, when he was born there. And why does the story begin in Bethlehem? We'll discuss that shortly. But first, we go back 2,000 years for breaking news.
Good evening, everyone. It's Livia and Skychopper News 10. Top story tonight, live over the Jordan Valley with Judea on the move. masses of Israelites are leaving their homes to travel to specific locations for the great census ordered by Caesar Augustus. Give yourselves plenty of time. The roads are packed. Pack that patience, huh? We're hearing reports of two-hour delays north of Ashkelon. Marcus is over Jerusalem in Air Hilo, Eagle News 1. Marcus, how's it going out there?
Olivia, we got a signal east of Bethany where Roman troop carriers ambushed by yet another violent Jewish protest over this census. You need Moses to part the Red Sea to get through this. Take about an hour, probably clean up the bodies. If you're stuck in the backup coming in from Jericho, your best bet is just to turn around and head back the way you came, and then catch the northern route to Anatoth before heading south again. In trouble? Contact super lawyer Justinian for Justice at advocatus.com. With traffic on the fives, I'm Marcus in Air Hilo Eagle News 1. Now to the studio where Blandis and Drusilla have more news.
As we've been reporting, Caesar has ordered the census. Why? Caesar needs to get a better handle on how many people live in Judea, who's paying taxes, and who isn't.
Indeed, he needs money for his massive infrastructure projects, and those Roman legions don't feed themselves.
Meantime, the census is turning out to be a boon for the tourist economy across the region, which has taken a hit due to violent pockets of rebellion. Drew, the violence really put a damper on the summer season.
Oh, I know. I had to settle for a vacation in Beirut this year, though I had some amazing Phoenician food. Fortunately, however, crucifixions are now finally starting to clear out the rabble. If you defy Caesar, well, it'll be the last thing you do.
Yeah. Well, the crosses of dead bodies lining the road may be a bit of a downer, but hotel bookings are way up.
And with the situation mostly safer now, thanks to Roman rule, everyone is traveling to their ancestral hometowns for the census.
Good luck finding any room at the inn. We're hearing reports of barns being put on Airbnb.
There's a particular crush around the little town of Bethlehem, often called the City of David, who was apparently a famous Israelite king.
I heard he started out as a shepherd and killed some big guy.
Interesting. I always thought of him as a poet.
Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. Good one.
But right now, Bethlehem's cup runneth over with tourists. Reporter Rebecca is live on the ground. Becca, how bad is it?
It's awful, Drew and Blan. Hordes of people have arrived from all over to register for the census, all claiming to be descendants of King David. The surge of emigrants has caught Bethlehem officials completely off guard. All attempts to provide control at the little town's border have been useless. No one is abiding by social distancing protocols.
Amazing. What do the locals think?
Well, some of them think outsiders have come here to take advantage of Bethlehem's generous public services. I mean, I saw a teenager from Nazareth who's so pregnant she looks ready to give birth at any moment.
But Nazareth is over 100 miles away in Galilee.
Exactly. Her boyfriend, or fiancé, husband, whatever he is, he got into it with a bunch of paparazzi chasing down rumors about a new king of the Jews being born here.
A new what?
King, a new king. King Herod has already been on Twitter calling it fake news.
Yeah, I bet.
But we got caught in the middle of a confrontation between the photographers and this guy from Nazareth with his pregnant fiancée. Take a listen.
What do they think they are? Get out of here!
You're an illegal alien!
You don't belong here!
This is crazy! Move out of our way. We need room.
Hey, we're TMZ! Who are you?
I'm, Joseph.
Is that your wife?
Something like that. She's my betrothed.
Fiance?
Kinda.
What does that mean?
Just give us some room. She's about to have a baby.
You're here illegally, trying to take advantage of us, Bethlehem.
Go back to where you belong. We don't need any more babies born here.
You're an illegal alien.
Yeah, enough of this birth tourism.
Get out of here. But this baby is special. He's...
Special?
He's...
Joe, what do you do for a living?
I'm a carpenter.
And you claim this woman, who you may or may not be married to, is giving birth to a special baby?
Careful.
Your baby or someone else's, old man?
Shut up.
Hey, lady, show us your face. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary, tell me about this special baby.
Back off.
Hey, you broke my camera.
Oh, that guy's
cool, dude.
Did anybody get that on camera?
No. Leave us alone.
It's expensive.
You have no idea what you're doing. Mary, we need to get out of here.
Go back to where you came from.
Back live now, Drew, Blan. That's just one scene of the mayhem
in Bethlehem.
Well, somebody needs to get that guy under control. Special baby.
Becca, where are all these people staying?
Anywhere they can, even out in the open. And the bathroom situation is pretty unspeakable. Oy, the smell.
Keep us posted. Coming up on a lighter note, nearly 40 years after her suicide, Cleopatra's grandson Ptolemy is the toast of the town in Rome. Next, we ask him some questions.
Hi, it's Jane Wells again, producer of the podcast, as we take a brief break from our breaking news coverage for more background information. There are four stories about the life of Jesus, the Gospels in the Christian Bible, but only two deal with Christmas, the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. Now, Luke says Jesus was born during the census. Matthew says Jesus was born during the reign of King Herod, who was a brutal, hated leader installed by Rome. It appears the two stories contradict each other. Their timelines don't seem to match up. According to the famous first century Jewish historian Josephus, there was a census ordered by Caesar Augustus in the year we call 6 AD, but that would have been after King Herod died. So either Matthew is wrong saying Herod was alive, or Luke is wrong saying Jesus was born during the census, unless there was maybe an earlier census when Herod was alive, but we don't have any surviving record of it, though Augustus wrote he ordered more than one census. Bottom line, we don't know. And why Bethlehem? That's like being born in Bakersfield. Not that I have anything against Bakersfield. I mean, Merle Haggard was born in Bakersfield. But the Son of God? Really?
It's a very good question. And of course, trying to justify the ways of God to human beings has been...
Once again, that's Professor Warren Carter.
You know, it's more helpful to think about the census as a narrative device, as a way of getting Jesus back to Bethlehem to be born in the city of David.
There is no perfect time. There is no perfect place, if you look. The problem with that equation is us judging on earthly terms what would have been better or worse. But God's not judging them. He's judging on heavenly terms in which all of it looks like an upholstered sewer.
And that's Neil Saavedra. It actually turns out this insignificant backwater little town fulfills a prophecy. In the Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament, the prophet Micah says a king, a chosen one of God, will come out of Bethlehem.
One of the things that parts of the tradition has affirmed is that there is this divine disposition, this divine favor toward the powerless and the invisible. Mary's a nobody. Nazareth and Bethlehem are nowhere towns. They're nothing towns. So it's amongst these unlikely places. It's amongst the poor. It's amongst the non-privileged that divine presence is particularly encountered.
Lisa Fields loves that part of the story.
Jesus is somebody for everybody. And I think him being born on the margins gives people on the margins hope that he always identifies with those that have been left behind and the underdog.
There's something of the comedic about that, you know, there's something about the Joker in the pack about that, that it's unpredictable, it's surprising, it's quirky, it's not the way humans would do it.
Before we return to the little town of Bethlehem, it's time to find out, who is Mary?
On today's Dr. Philistine.
You expect us to believe that God is the father of your child?
Yes.
A teenage girl has an incredible story of immaculate conception, and her fiancé believes her.
I know it's hard to explain, but the dream was so real.
Well, Mary... You know we could have you stoned to death for this, but maybe not today.
All that coming up on today's Dr. Philistine.
Hey, thanks everyone. I'm Dr. Philistine. Glad you could join us. A story of a miracle. At least that's what she would have us believe. A girl from Nazareth... I know, nothing good comes from Nazareth. But bear with me. A girl from Nazareth
with a spotless moral record is suddenly pregnant, and not by her fiancé. Even more amazing, he's still going to marry her. But that's not the strangest part of this story. Let's bring out our guests, Mary and Joseph. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Philistine.
So, Mary, how old are you?
Still a teenager. Had my bat mitzvah only a few years ago.
Can I just say, the party was amazing, Mary? Camel rides? I mean, off the hook.
And now you're pregnant.
Yes, I am. With a son.
How do you know?
I know.
You're not married, correct?
Not yet.
Joseph, are you the father?
I am not.
Well, Mary, you know we could have you stoned to death for this, but maybe not today. So, Mary, who is the father?
My Lord Jehovah.
You expect us to believe that God is the father of your child?
Yes.
Walk me through this. Help me understand.
Well, I'm warning you, it's a strange and wonderful story. I was in my home, and out of nowhere, a man was there. But he wasn't like any man. He had a light about him. I was terrified and fascinated. He told me he was Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, and he said that I was highly favored and that the Lord was with me. I know it sounds like I'm bragging. God with me. Sounds ridiculous. I'm just telling you what he said. But I didn't know exactly what he meant, and to be honest, I was completely freaked out. But Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." He said the baby will be called the Son of the Most High, and that God will give him the throne of David.
He will be king?
Whose kingdom will never end.
Jesus! How did that make you feel?
I was confused. How could this be? I'm a virgin.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Hold on a minute. Folks, I want you to see something. Our producers were able to obtain video from surveillance cameras inside Mary's home of what happened next. Mary, cameras?
You've seen a spike in crime from Roman troops passing through? Dad thought cameras might help. We ordered them last year.
Free delivery with Amazon Prime! Whoop, whoop.
Joseph.
Well, the video is poor quality, but the audio is decent. Listen.
How is it possible that I could become pregnant since I am a virgin? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said.
There's no one else in the room with you, Mary. Though it looks like there's a kind of weird light near the window. Could be something outside just reflecting on the camera.
I told you someone was there. He looked like a man, but he was not a man.
So, Joe, you bought this whole story.
It's Joseph? I didn't buy it at first, Dr. Philistine. Look, she's an honorable young woman, and I wasn't sure what really happened, but I wasn't going to marry a girl who's pregnant with another man's child. I planned to quietly end our agreement. But then, one night I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. The whole situation really bothered me. Something didn't feel right about my decision. I know Mary. I know how virtuous she is. She is the best person I've ever met. I guess at some point I finally drifted off to sleep, and I had a dream. It was the strangest dream ever. An angel of the Lord came to me. I don't know if it was Gabriel, but he also had a light, a presence around him that was unlike any human. He said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit."
The Holy what?
The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. And the angel said, just like Mary told you, that she will give birth to a son, and we are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. I know it's hard to explain, but the dream was so real
And so, what did you do?
I'm doing what I was told to do. I'm marrying her.
Joseph, thank you for believing me.
Mary, I have always loved you. But I did not believe you, not at first. I'm sorry I doubted you.
It's a lot to take in.
So a new king of the Jews to save God's people? King Herod is not gonna like that.
Yes, well, God spoke to me in a second dream.
Another dream?
I know. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. Anyhow, based on this new dream, I think we're gonna leave the country after the baby's born and lay low for a while.
You and these dreams. Look, I, Dr. Philistine, had a dream the other night that one of my descendants will be in some far-off land across the sea doing a talk show through a magical screen inside people's homes. And he will end up richer than Caesar. But that's just crazy talk, am I right?
Jane Wells here. There's something about Mary. She is such a good person that God chooses her to be the mother of his son, a virgin who becomes pregnant. And from Nazareth, a town which gets badmouthed in the Bible, someone asks in the Gospel of John, quote, can anything good come from Nazareth?
Mary is someone that I deeply admire.
That's Lisa Fields again from the Jude 3 Project.
God gives her this gift, and this gift inadvertently brings her shame because nobody believes that she is, that there's a virgin birth. I mean, the idea that you can have a baby without intercourse with a man is absurd.
In Matthew's story, she hardly figures, which is really interesting.
And that's Dr. Warren Carter.
Joseph is the one who gets all the attention. The angel turns up to Joseph and says, you know, Mary's going to have a baby. And Joseph says, you know, it wasn't me. And the angel says, yeah, we know. But he's the one who gets all the attention because he's of the line of David. It's in Luke's version of the story that the attention centers on Mary.
What do you think about Mary?
I love Mary.
Neil Saavedra says Mary is typical of women in the Bible.
But my belief is, if you look at women in Scripture, they're the first ones to understand, like, really hardcore biblical principles.
But what about Joseph? He's not the father of Mary's baby, and so he wants to call off their wedding. A betrothal back then was a sort of premarital agreement that was still legally binding. Joseph is willing to, quote, put her away quietly, which I guess means privately send her away because he respects Mary and doesn't want her humiliated or killed. But God's angel appears to Joseph in a dream to explain that it's all good. Stay with Mary. The baby is divine. Joseph actually has 4 dreams in the Bible, most warning him about keeping Jesus safe, but none is as important as the first, telling him to believe the impossible.
And I think the dreams are a tool that God chose to use to speak to humanity. And I think Joseph is given those dreams because there's no other way that he would have believed what was happening.
Here he is in this situation where faith has to be paramount. And he did it. Joseph still had to be the man of the house in a home with Mary and Jesus. Talk about take out the trash.
But Joseph wasn't the only man in the Christmas story who has trouble at first believing in miracles. Time to fire up the iPhone version 6 AD for some ancient FaceTiming.
Okay, Mom, are you there?
Yeah, Mary? Yes, Mary? Can you see me? How do I get this thing to work, honey? I can't get the FaceTime thingy to work with Mary.
Hit the video button.
Hit the what?
The camera icon.
Hit the camera icon. Oh, I see it. Okay. Mary, can you see me now, Mary?
Yes. You ready?
Yes. Our cousin Elizabeth is going to be so surprised.
I know. She has no idea I'm coming. Okay. I'm going up to her door now. Elizabeth?
Yes, who is it?
Mary! Zechariah, it's Mary! Oh, Anne, there you are on the FaceTime thing.
Elizabeth, honey, how are you, sweetheart? How is the baby?
I am so ready to give birth. This heat, plus the pregnancy, I'm schwitzing morning, noon, and night.
You wait years for a baby, and now you're complaining? Where's Zechariah?
Well, it's a little awkward. He hasn't been able to speak for months, since just around the time I became pregnant. Yes, me, pregnant, finally. They said it would never happen.
He can't speak?
What happened? Mary, hold the phone up so I can see more of Elizabeth.
Well, it was his turn to go into the temple to burn incense while everyone else was praying outside. He was in there a long time, and he came out. He couldn't speak. He tried to motion with his hands, but no words came out. Looks like he had some kind of vision in there. I still have no idea. But he keeps pointing at my big pregnant belly and then pointing up to the heavens. And it really is a miracle that I've been blessed with a baby at last, as old as I am.
Can I touch your belly?
Sure, sure, of course.
Can you feel the baby moving, Mary?
Oh.
Oh, wow. Mary, the baby's going nuts. Wait. Just hold on a second. Mary, are you pregnant? You're pregnant.
Yes, I am.
What?
Mother.
Mary, I see it. I see it all. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord has come to me?
Will somebody please explain what's going on? Mary says she's pregnant. No, not Elizabeth. Mary is saying, but she won't explain what.
Anne, blessed is your daughter. She who believed that what the Lord told her will happen.
Mary, turn the phone to you. I want to look at you.
Mother, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of how humble I am. And yet, from now on, all generations will call me blessed.
Daughter, you know I love you, and you are a good girl. But why would God choose you for anything? We are a poor family from a poor town.
Mom, why wouldn't he choose me? God has brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.
Mary, I think you need to come home.
Not yet. I'm going to stay with Elizabeth for a few months, if that's okay.
Of course it's okay. Anne, I could use the help. It's hot up here in the hill country, and even if Zechariah could talk, he's not much good around the house. Mary might even stay until the baby comes. We were thinking of naming him after his father, but we've decided on John.
John? But no one in our family has that name.
John!
Zechariah!
Zechariah! He speaks at last.
His name is John. In the temple, the day I stopped speaking, the angel Gabriel appeared and told me we would have a son and to call him John. And he said our son will be a very big deal. He will be a righteous person and turn a lot of people back towards God and prepare people for the Lord who will come and shine upon us, guiding us to the path of peace.
Jeez, you go from saying nothing for months to motormouth? Why the silent treatment all this time?
Because I told Gabriel I didn't believe him, that we were too old to have a kid, and that didn't go over very well. He struck me silent until now. Mary, I see there are many miracles at work here. Please stay for as long as you like.
Thank you. Okay, Mom, I'm gonna hang up now.
But Mary, what about the pregnancy?
I'll explain it all later. Love you, bye.
Whoa. Mary, jeez. Honey, how do you turn this off? Hit the camera. Ooh, jeez. Ooh. Don't need to be looking at myself. That is horrible. When did I get that double chin? Oh, my. That is not... Oh, how do I turn this thing off?
Now back to the 21st century. So not only is Mary pregnant, but her much older relative, Elizabeth, is finally able to have a baby. That child will grow up to become John the Baptist. John will be the guy who, 30 years later, starts telling everyone to listen to Jesus. And we will meet him in the Easter podcast next spring. But at this moment, Mary and Elizabeth have no idea what's ahead. Mary is excited about the gift she's been given. And in the Gospel of Luke, she sings a beautiful song of praise called the Magnificat, which says in part, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She sounds joyful.
She's presented as an ideal model disciple, right? She embraces what God does. But I don't think we should overlook the situation that this pregnancy puts her in. Her situation is pretty precarious, and I don't think, you know, it's very easy to romanticize Mary, and the story does that. You know, I am the servant of the Lord, and she's happily submissive to what's happening. This is a traumatic event that had major implications. There are some very harsh things in the tradition about what to do with young women who become pregnant, who are not married. This is a dangerous state to be in.
And she walks around her entire life with that stigma and still knowing it's like her and God know the truth, but only her and God alone outside of Joseph and Jesus. And I admire the fact that she had to live with that, knowing that nobody really would believe her.
And yet many today do believe her. They believe a virgin became pregnant. They believe what seems unbelievable.
Me being a PK and me being familiar with the story since birth.
PK means Lisa Fields was a preacher's kid.
You think, oh, why not believe it? But looking outside, looking in, you're like, man, this is some strange, crazy stuff. This was like a cult. I don't think I would believe this. And I think, you know, it is by faith. You know, I can intellectually give you historical facts, but at some point, you have to believe that God can do this, that God can create life. For me, the hardest thing is not to think that God rose from the dead. The hardest thing is to conceive that God created the world out of nothing. If you believe that, then everything else, to me, that supernatural can happen.
On the next episode of Top Story Tonight, Jesus, the Christmas episodes.
The economy has never been better. In the history of economies of the world, this one is the best there ever was.
Welcome to the Messiah Podcast, brought to you by our sponsor, Zippy Recruiter.
Well, a child versus Rome, not really a fair fight.
A savior is born? Guys, are you hearing this?
A silent night becomes a holy night, and somebody doesn't like it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Top Story Tonight, Jesus, the Christmas episodes. This podcast was written and produced by me, Jane Wells, with support from producers John Lockhart, Robert Purcell, Deborah Vogel, and Justin Warsham. Executive producers Jeff Abraham, Dean Chamberlain, and Therese Tucker. Final cut and sound mixing by Candace Goldman. Today's cast includes Sharon Bellio, Gary Hoffman, John Beard, Shannon Farron, Ramona Floyd, Sean Taylor Corbett, Justin Warsham, Tanis Peranto, Gina Sanchez, Petros Papadakis, Imari Williams, Chris Welton, Wayne Resnick, Charles Hubble, and Larry Morgan. And thank you to Lisa Fields, Neil Saavedra, and Warren Carter for their insights. Today's Kickstarter support shoutouts go to Tim Buchanan, Joe Babb, and Greg Greenberg, Sharon Kerr, Marty Milner, Matt Schrader, Terry Mallard, and Ted Waddell. Please rate and review the podcast, and you can email me at topstorytonightpodcast@gmail.com. Do it, seriously, email me. And please tell one person about this podcast to help spread the word. Until next time.
Kill the male babies. Kill them all.
Dad, your mic's still hot.
Oh.
There's something about a Skyline Three-Way that makes me crave it. The chili, cheese, and spaghetti blend together perfectly. Just talking about it is making me hungry. Guess I'm going to Skyline today.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.